Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you, we bless you, and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you that you help us with your word. We praise you, we worship you, we bless you. Thank you, and we speak spirit of wisdom and revelation, the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, amen. Now, I believe this would be the sixth or seventh session of our study series, Saving Your Soul. In a few more months, it'll be complete on our website. Now, you can buy the audio on our website, but only in audio format. The video will be ready in a few months or so. We don't know exactly when. But the series is titled Saving Your Soul. Saving Your Soul. This would be session 7. In other words, there are 6 sessions before this one. Now, to save time, I'm going to go with our foundational text in James, and I'll be reading it in the Amplified Classic. James 1:21. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. As I said before recording, it's part of that wickedness. Just a moment before this broadcast. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. Verse 21. But be doers of the word. Obey the message. Now, before continuing, what are you going to be doers of the word of? What here? What message is the one you're going to obey? The word that is implanted in your soul. Once you know something, you should act on it. Amen. And not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Now, in Romans 12, again, the Amplified Classic, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, desecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, as I just spoke before touching on this broadcast. If you understand that when you change your nature, as we spoke in our last sessions, then you must not think like the world. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is good, acceptable, and perfect, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Not what you think, not in your sight, not in what you assume. Now we'll be seeing what the body of sin, what is it? What is it? How does it work? Because here's one of the biggest issues. Once you're born again, If you don't know how to deal with the body of sin and you don't understand what it is. Chapter 6 of Romans. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice the word here of baptism. Now, this isn't talking about baptism in water. If you remember, in Hebrews 6 now, to establish this point, and you can see its context. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discretion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, plural here. Plural baptism. So there is more than one baptism. I'm referring to this due to people reading Romans 6. The average Christian, meaning the majority of Christians, read baptism, or we've been baptized, as it said, Apostle Paul in Romans 6, and in their mind, unrenewed, God bless them in their mind full of ignorance, they're thinking in baptism with water, but it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with baptism in water. Here, this is baptisms. Notice, the doctrines, the author of Hebrews, in verse 2, the doctrism of baptisms, plural. That indicates then that there's more than one baptism. Is that right? So then, what is this referring to? Notice in Matthew 3, verse 11. John the Baptist here. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. With water, another type of baptism here, in water, unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we have more than one baptism here, but we have two baptizers here. Speaking in the spiritual realm. And speaking of the types of baptisms, we'll have three people here. We're speaking baptism in water, so the pastor or the leaders who help the pastor will baptize someone, speaking of the baptism in water. But speaking in the spiritual, we have two types of baptizers here. One is the Lord Jesus. We see he's the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, and I don't just want to talk about baptism here, I just want you to be able to see it and discern it and be a good disciple and study of the Word of God. The average Christian doesn't understand the Word. They just want a message that encourages them, that rubs their back. And that's it. That's all they want. It's very rare to find a Christian who is a disciple. Acts, thank you. Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you. So it's the Lord Jesus that baptizes us with. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. One thing is a baptism with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's one. Following along? Then we mentioned in Matthew, baptism in water. And then Matthew, I believe it's 28, the last verse. Teaching them to observe all things. Oh, thank you. 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Very interesting here. Perhaps I'll make it a priority to mention this. What type of baptism is this? With water. I mean, don't get scared. Follow along. It's with water. Could it be with water or with sand? This is with water. Notice here how when the Lord mentioned this, and I'll probably get in trouble with some I'm in trouble with religious teachings here, but it's, I don't really care. It's just on you receiving this. If you study the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, again, people call them the Acts of the Apostles. Have you heard people say that? And some Bibles say the Acts of the Apostles. And that's a very wrong way of saying it. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. The correct name should be that. Now, I'll mention this of baptisms. Because when we read and touch on what the body of death is, when you see the word baptism, you'll understand what it's talking about. This isn't baptism with the Holy Spirit. Nor is it baptism with water. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. With. Baptism with water. Because there's another one, which is baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul was mentioning here in Romans 6. But there's a difference. So let's continue. And we'll see it in a moment. Now, I should say here, so you can understand the word. If you're a Christian, well, you're going to say that it's the same. Christians will say, oh, it's the same for me. It doesn't matter. The disciple says, no, I want to know. Renewing their mind with the word of God. When the Lord said this, go and therefore I make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no indication here in the Bible when the church started, the book of Acts, that they would have baptized anyone in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no quote of that. All baptism is water or in the name of Jesus. So then why did the Lord say it this way? Because the Lord, as we also saw, I mentioned in our study series of Midweek Services, the Lord Jesus doesn't pray in tongues because it wasn't time yet. The time of grace hadn't started yet. Or the second covenant or the new covenant had started. So the Lord had to line up to the times in which he was in. There's no indication. All baptisms with water were in the name of Jesus. You see, there's not a single indication of it. Only here the Lord mentioned it, but interestingly, it may seem that they disobeyed. But no, it's not that they disobeyed. For example, Acts 38. Acts 2:38. Therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 8:16. For as yet we have fallen, they only have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts 19. Acts 19 verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there's no indication of it. It is only mentioned here. Acts 10. Help me here. Acts 10. Acts 10:45. Because of the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out, the Gentiles also, for they have heard speak with tongues and magnify God. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. 47. Can anyone forbid water? What then should not be baptized? Can anyone forbid water? That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, 48, and have commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they also asked him to stay a few days. Now in this verse, 48 is speaking of baptism with water. Amen. Now, I've taught you all of this for years, but some of you, you've heard so much religion that you've forgotten it. It's nothing new. Now, go with me. You understand that, correct? Now you'll be able to see it in Romans 6. The joy wins me over. Romans 6. But joy wins me over sometimes. So what baptism is this about? The difference. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. The other is baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? That the Lord Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we're born again. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in the body of Christ. First Corinthians 12, verse 13. By one Spirit, you're the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What's the difference then? In one, it's the Lord Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Here, it's the Holy Spirit baptizing us in the body of Christ. That's the difference of baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism that the Holy Spirit provokes when we're born again. He puts us in the body of Christ. Another way that perhaps you can understand it, he grafted For example, when you grab a tree and graft a branch, graft it into the trunk of a young tree. or implanted. We were implanted into the body of Christ. That's the baptism. Because the word of baptism, all it means is submerge. So the Holy Spirit submerges us and implants us and inserts us into the body of Christ. Glory to God. This, as I just said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized. Who wrote the book of Corinthians? The Apostle Paul. The same language is used for Romans. Book of Romans. Here, speaking this baptism of a baptism. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we're born again. The other, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is the Lord Jesus now baptizing us with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the baptism of water is just a step of obedience. Here, again, people are going to get mad with this. Baptism with water does not save you. Amen. Baptism with water is important because it's a public declaration that you do before witnesses, before brothers in Christ, saying, I am a child of God, and that submission is a step of obedience. That's why you have people in the body of Christ fighting one with another. Shut up, you're not saved if you're not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And others, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, you're not saved. And others, if you're not baptized there in their waters, there in their pool, you're not saved. Just nonsense. I just stay with the Bible and I showed you there. Now, Romans 6. My God. No, at this series, Joy's just winning me over. The midweek service is not as much. Yes, or well, some say yes, some others say no. Sometimes, but I do believe that I am more calm in our midweek services. Alex and I are our majority here. We agree. Now, Romans 6. Now, with that in mind, this is inserted here in the body of Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Died in the Spirit, our nature was changed when we were born again. Another way of saying it is our nature was changed when we were inserted in the body of Christ. Verse 4. Or apologies, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. You understand now which baptism? Of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's so tremendous when you understand, and once you read it with the truth, with its correct context. Do you not know as many of us were baptized or inserted into Christ, implanted into Christ? Another way of saying it, submerged in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized in his death when you were born again. If you've been born again, if a person is born again, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, God the Father saw you and me there, crucified in Christ. Now, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, from verse 1 to verse 6. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. And you he made alive. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is in the satanic nature here. Of the world. Have you heard people say, God bless them, have you heard when people say, oh little God, my little God? There are people who haven't been born again. If they died, are going to hell. because they don't know God. I don't say it in a bad way. This is just truth. You should not speak that way. God is your Father. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience here, in its context of who? Of the world, with the people of the world. I know when you read these verses, the same thing happens to the majority of Christians. They read this and say, but Brother Hughes, I know people who are Christians and they're walking in disobedience this moment right now. They act as heathens. It's true. Which is why I'll tell you that what the issue is, if they've been born again, there's an issue there. And we'll touch on what that issue is. And it can happen to you or me if we don't take care of ourselves. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fooling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Now, when I was in the world, they'd call me children of something else, son of a something else. If they would have called me a son of wrath, perhaps I wouldn't have been so mad about it, just as the others. Glory to God. But God, don't you love this? But God. Every time I read this verse, I make it almost daily. This impacts me, and I have to stay thinking for a moment. The contrast. You can see the contrast between verse 1, 2, and 3. But God. Oh, glory to God. But God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. When they used to call me son of everything else, but a son of God. They call me everything else. God loved me. Oh, thank you, Lord. And how much more than I'm his son. Bought with the price of blood inserted in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy. No, don't remove verse 4. I'm joyful, and then you take it away. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Brother Hughes. Amen. Thank you. No, not you. Just me. Hey, I believe it. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. He gave us life with Christ. In other words, when we received the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, not by keeping dead works, amen, not for behaving well, and actually the majority of us, some of us, would behave very bad. Daily. One day my mom told me. My mom once told me, come, go out to your house. And I said, isn't it come in? No, she said, no, because you live out on the street. I lived on the street, so come in, come out to the house. So backwards. And don't think that I was doing good things out there in the streets. But I was a son of the devil. And I thought that because going to mass when there was a quinceañera or someone's wedding, or go and confess to a priest and tell a man how terribly I behaved and just tell me that to do this, and doing certain prayers, and I made it. But actually, I was headed more towards hell, because looking at my sights were placed on the fact that I thought that was going to heal me. But aren't you thankful for the liberty in Christ? For that reason, oh, Brother Hughes, you're criticizing the Catholics. No, no, contrary. For that reason, on television and radio, in some of them, we're on secular stations. Amen. Where's Gohan? Where they? Gohan sent an audio to my son yesterday. They were in the taqueria in Nakosari. I said, he didn't bring me any tacos, unfortunately. But there we were. Send that piece of a video there. Our brother Hughes was there on a radio station. You know, people drunk there eating tacos, hungover, listening to Brother Hughes. The Holy Spirit is going to do something there. Hallelujah. Together with Him. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where? Here in the Spirit, in the spiritual world of God, in the world of faith, the world of the grace of God, of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But what happens then? Why is it, Brother Hugh, some Christians act like heathens? It's a good question. The Apostle Paul will tell us there in Romans 6. Romans 6. Remember how I shared with the brother in Phoenix? It was in this series, right? We went through a house. He had been born again some time ago. Stopped smoking weed, but then he passed through a house. And the scent pulled him back. So what happened there? And then he got super condemned. And, oh, Brother Hughes, I didn't sleep. And I've been asking the Lord for forgiveness, and God bless him. But you know what happens there? It's what happens with you when you're working out there in the heat, and the other heathen go out there thinking about that ice cold booze. You're thinking, oh, Lord, what happened? Don't let the rapture occur. That I'm going to stay here with these thoughts. I'll tell you what's happening so you can understand. And you just understand. That there are people who still struggle with this. Some time ago, I spoke with someone, you know, a believer in Christ, years spent. Oh, brother, it wasn't here in Douglas. Because some of you, if I say, I spoke with someone here, they think, who is it talking about here in the church? Very quickly to judge. Who? No, Brother Hughes, we don't want to judge. We want to pray for that person. Uh-huh, sure. Anyways. Oh, speaking with this person. Oh, Brother Hughes, this is in another city. You're like bloodhounds here. Could it be here at church? Where? Where we're trying to hunt him down? It was somewhere else. Brother Hughes, it's because I still struggle with the attraction of people of the same sex. Another man. And I was super condemned because I still struggle. And I said, I still sometimes struggle with the attractions of the opposite sex, but that doesn't mean that I'm in adultery or going to fall in it. But I'm telling you, with when you're working out there in the sun, helping out your friend, putting brick, and then suddenly he takes out that nice booze and it's very sweaty out there. He says, you want some? And you just say, well, Brother Hughes, I don't know what's happening to me. I think I was with one foot in the kingdom, another one in the world, because I just started salivating. No, what happens is this. It's the body of sin only that's here in your mind.
The Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi. Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
If you understand, that no, it doesn't go with you. When you're doing a stop on the stop sign, and then someone turns to look at you, and then you, yes. And you know, you want some? No, thank you. Brother Hughes, but it looks very nice. No, it's not good for your health. Get it here. But that's what happens with many Christians. They're in holiness, but in their own holiness. Not in understanding, it's the holiness of God. So the day that, you know, the flesh wants to loosen up, you know, yield to that. Oh, what happened, Lord? What happened? Lord, please, it's because of my fault, by my big fault and of the rest of the world. No, relax. Here's what happens. This is what happens. Now get serious with me here. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know, and that's how many Christians are, that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. It's inserted into the body of Christ, submerged. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, also so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what we saw in Ephesians. For if we have been united or planted or baptized together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice how 6 starts. Why I'm speaking this. Knowing this, the grand majority of Christians, God bless them, do not know this. Unfortunately. Amen. Knowing this. And what is this? Knowing this. That our old man, the human spirit, was crucified with him, with Christ. Meaning, when Jesus, our Lord, was on the cross, God the Father was looking at you through Christ. Yes, glory to God. So when you say, by his stripes, I have been healed. For that reason, this one must have a century of life has taken him over. Remember what I told you of my knee? I was struggling with my knee. I would go up those steps by faith. Now, nothing. I can do sit-ups. I can do squats. No painkillers, no creams, nothing. Now, I'm not boasting. This is glory to God. But when you understand this, by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I was healed. By what he did. What he paid for, not me, what he did. Notice this. Knowing this. Give me a moment, let me drink some water. Calm down, brother. That our old man was crucified with him. that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When this speaks of the old man, if I remember correctly, we saw a bit of this, correct? Last Sunday? Knowing this. That our old man. Let's go step by step here. What is the old man here? The human spirit. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin could be destroyed. This can't be speaking of a body, the body of flesh, this body here, because, well, if we were that way, then you're born again and that's it. You die, you go to heaven. So from the three entities that we have here, spirit, soul, and body, if we use what we call process of elimination, no, just deducting. This isn't speaking of the old man or of a person as the body, talking of the spirit here. And the body of sin could not be speaking of the human body because, well, we can't be destroyed, be born again, and we receive Christ, and then we would all have to die. Well, you know, it doesn't work that way. So if the Apostle Paul, when he mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, don't go there, I just mention it. Although I will say don't go there, but one or two of you are. That spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. So this is not speaking of the spirit because we've already been born again. This isn't speaking of the body. So then what is this speaking about? Of the soul. That's what the series is about. Of the soul. It's here then where you will see Christians in disobedience. It's here, this is the body of sin, where all doubt, all fear, all unbelief, all wrath, anger, divisions, issues, here, right here. I'm going to ask multimedia team to please help me with that image. We have three. There's an image of three. Spirit, soul, and body. Three men here. I don't know if you remember where it is exactly. Thank you. The difference between, you'll see heathens doing acts, perverse acts. As there are some Christians, I don't know if you've noticed, Christians that they are worse than a rattlesnake. No, really. So what happens? What happens is they've been born again here. I didn't bring my laser. Didn't know I was going to use it today. Oh, she'll give it for you. Thank you. Thank you for the ushers here. Now what happens here? Spirit, soul, and body. Thank you very much. Notice. The heathen, all cursing, all perversion, works here, from where it says spirit, right here. Why? Because they are children of the devil. All covetousness, greed. They're capable of backstabbing you, finishing relationships. Some people can even be divided out of inheritances, money, things of the sort, unfortunately. Fortunately, it happens and continues to happen here because they're heathens. So all evilness, all covetousness starts here in the world. And of course, it comes here to the soul where their mind, their will, emotions are at. And then they execute it with the body. In the case of the Christian, when they don't take the time to pray, to spend time. For example, here's one of the important things of coming to church. You don't come to church so that God can love you. Or you don't come to church to be able to please someone or Brother Hughes. You come to be discipled with the Word of God. And also to take advantage of the bodily anointing. For example, I saw it from other Christians. I remember this brother in Christ being at home. A one of his family members arrived, also a brother in Christ. Family member of this brother that I was conversing with, and he was going through an illness. And then this brother in Christ told in front of me, said, "You see, Brother Hughes," because I tell him this is why God doesn't heal him, because he doesn't go to church anymore. Why God doesn't heal him, because I tell him that he should go to church, so that when God sees him faithful in church, then God will say, "You are worthy of being healed." Careful with thinking that way, brothers and sisters. Look, the difference is, if a person is ill, it's good. They're believing God for their healing, assuring first that they go to a church. That, as radical as this one, Jesus already healed you, period. That's a radical grace, and it'll provoke, you understand, a radical faith. Amen. You won't be with, "Oh, let's see if God will heal me or if he's going to." No, you'll get that, rid of that language. He already healed you in Christ more than 2,000 years ago, living it or not, experiencing it or not. By his stripes, I was healed, period. And that's what this is about, of renewing my mind with the word of God. What's the company here named? I'm going to give them a bit of publicity. It's as if APS arrived here at church and all the lights are off. Who arrived here in the morning to turn everything off? Who came? Was it you, Perla? For example, did you call APS asking, "Hey, there's no light here in church. I don't know what's happening." Did you do that? No. Because if you would have done it, the first thing that when they answer is did you flip the switch? The first thing we do, we flip that switch of faith. People don't like to hear this because they say, "Oh, so it means that it's my responsibility if I'm healed or not?" But someone once told me, "So, Brother Hughes, are you trying to say that it's my responsibility if I'm healed or not?" No, I'm not trying to say it. I'm affirming it. A big difference. It's your responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. Even in our area of faith, many, now I was speaking with his brother Valdez, many confess, "I'm confessing by his stripes I was healed," waiting for God to do something. You have to understand that confession understanding that your confession, what it does is you recognize, it's recognition. I'll give you a very ugly example. By the grace of God, none of you ever have to go through this. But have you heard when a young youth, for whatever reasons, dies and they didn't find him for many days, and then they later call from the morgue saying, "I believe we have someone here"? That describes your family member and they tell you, "I need you to come and confirm." So the person, the father, mother goes, God bless them. What a terrible thing to go through. Just giving a radical example so you can understand. Person goes, says, "Yeah, that's my son," or, "Yeah, that's my brother, or, my father, or, my mother." He will only recognize what he is. When you and I confess the word, we confess based on what is. You don't confess for something to become or to come true. You confess what already is. That's true. Confession will eventually bring manifestation, but it's the manifestation of what you have. Many Christians don't get healed because they confess the word of God. This is in our area of faith. They confess in our area of faith, of our people of faith. "I'm confessing, Brother Hughes," waiting for God to do something. No, you have to change this way of thinking first. You're confessing, you're recognizing. There are times, perhaps this doesn't help too much in the way that certain verses are translated, but one of them that will help you to understand is in Philemon 1, verse 6. that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. Unfortunately, I don't know the reason. I give much credit. I believe one of the best. Best faithful versions in his translations is James. Nevertheless, there are certain words that I don't fully understand why. But you see the word there, acknowledgement. That word in the Greek is translated recognition. Look, in English, the Spanish version didn't translate it. Best English did, the original English. Notice where it says here. By the acknowledging. This word here, or acknowledgement, is to recognize. In other words, you recognize something. Another example of the word to recognize, you can link it to this. For example, you go, someone says, as they've told me, Brother Hughes, that coffee that you drink is very good. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're recognizing. Not because they tasted it doesn't mean that the coffee is good, that it's already good. Do you understand? I'll put it this way. You ready? An example from the ghetto, from the hood. Came here home because they told me that your mom makes some good enchiladas with beans. And yeah, actually she's making them right now. Come and taste them. You arrive, you know, you have a good one. A good plate. Lots of cheese. You even pull it up and the cheese is dripping. Some of you are already getting hungry. You know what? Start eating. And you say, hey, this is so good. You know what you're doing? You're recognizing. Because chilaquiles were already made. But that's what you do when you say, by his stripes, I was healed. You're recognizing that it's by what the Lord did, not by what you're doing. Now, what you too can give place to the devil. That's the big difference. So for example, someone goes to church. They go to church because, going back to that example, I'll go back to the example in a bit, this brother in Christ. His brother had told his family member, I don't remember if it was his brother, cousin, someone of the sort, going to the same church, and tells him that you can go so that when God sees your faithfulness, then you're a candidate so you can be healed. No, you're a candidate because you're in Christ. You were saved more than 2,000 years ago. And then he turned to look at me and he said, isn't that right, Brother Hughes? So talking with this person, drinking coffee, not as good as the one that I normally drink, but you know that's all there was at the time. Had a sip of coffee, and then very slowly, though you may not believe it here, I said, Lord, tell me how to share this correctly. And I told him, and I answered, look, brother, the truth, the way that you're saying it is not correct. No? No. So the other brother in Christ, based on this illness, he asked, no, then how is it? It's that. So is it okay for him to not go to church? No. The way that it should be is this. I'm going to go, especially if you have good praise and worship, where it's only word that praises God. I'm going to go because in this moment of illness and of need, or any other need that you may have, I need to be in an atmosphere of faith. But it's not the same on the internet, regardless of how much they say. It's not the same. The anointing isn't there. Someone could say, oh, yes, there is. It just shows the ignorance that there is then. There's a bodily anointing when we congregate. So a person who has a need, a financial need, or an illness of the sort, should go. Because you need to be in an anointing like that, in an anointing of faith. An anointing where there is bodily anointing in that atmosphere. where there is praise and worship. God is in that praise and that worship. And then with the word of God, you're between your brothers of Christ. Remember how the Bible says in the book of Acts, when they arrested Paul and when he was freed, what did he do? He went and ran to those of his kind. You see the difference? I need to go to church. I'm going to go to church because God already healed me, but I need that atmosphere of faith to help me with this mind. You see, compared to having to go so that God can heal you, it's the world of difference. Two completely different motives, completely against each other. One, it's by faith. The other, there is no faith. There's only dead works. The image, please, to follow along. So, in a born-again Christian, or you see how some are worse than a serpent. All perversion, all cursing acts here in the mind. This is that mind. So they act as if they were heathens. Although Christ is here in the spirit, they're saved. When they die, they go to heaven. All perversion is acting here in the soul and the body, which means soma, which means slave, executes it, which is why you'll see Christians, but you see them and you say, hey, there's no difference between brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so with this one that I know from the world. You see? You understand now. So, speaking of a believer here, who walks in disobedience, they're opening doors to the devil. And what happens is it will bring judgment. We saw in our last sessions, not from God, but there is a verdict or a consequence of it. And there is a possibility of something also happening, of renouncing your salvation also. But I'll touch on it farther on ahead in the series. There is a possibility when a Christian continues acting as if they were a heathen. But I'll touch on it farther on ahead. But speaking here, just in general, a Christian who is lost in sin, if they repent, closes all doors to the devil and truly changes their course with their actions, then you can close many doors to the devil and God can restore your life. Which is why it's necessary to learn to pray. Because if you know how to pray correctly and know how to intercede and true supplication, prayer of supplication, then you can bring family members back to the things of the Lord and avoid be it that the devil kills them before their time or that they continue and come the point where they renounce their salvation. You don't lose your salvation. But salvation is a gift. Just as God didn't obligate you to be saved, He will not obligate you to stay saved. But we'll touch on it farther on ahead. Remember how I told you, well, I'll take you from the new birth, having in the spirit the first six sessions, to maturity. Remember how I told you in this series. Well, one of the reasons why Christians, for example, don't see healing. Now, if you want me to help you with this, they don't see healing in their bodies because they don't take care of their words nor their action. And you deceive your mind. Who's on screen, Alan? No, it's Lyra. When I tell you, you put that image again, please. Because it's important. Have you heard people when they say this? Oh, I'm starving, or I'm dying of hunger, or this tiredness is killing me, or I'm scared to death. You know the reason why those people don't actually fall dead? Because they don't believe what they're actually saying. The reason why you don't see that they end up just dying. I know Christians who for years have had those expressions, but what happens is they don't believe it. What am I saying with this? For that reason, then, you deceive your heart. But when you're used to using vain words like that, your mind, in the case of you, child of God, born again, that all healing is here in your spirit, but for it to manifest in your body, it needs to go from that healing from your mind, from your soul to your body. That's where the struggle of faith is. That's where struggling with doubt, unbelief, giving place to the devil is. You deceive your mind. I'll give you another example and give me some mercy, because it has to do with what I'm seeking. You find it so important that you don't hear things that you're not going to do. For example, you'll tell someone, oh, I'll be there at home at 10. But you at 10, you're leaving your house. So your soul, not only your words, your actions, are seeing what you're speaking. What's the difference then when you say, by his stripes I was healed? Then you don't believe it. You don't see healing. You understand? You're understanding. Don't say something that you're not going to do. For example, I know Christians, brothers in Christ, that in this moment, a family, that I love them and they're very kind with me, they come to mind, but they have something, especially her, she has something. She says things that she's not going to do. And I've told her, don't say that, sister. Don't say something that you're not going to act on. Don't do something that you're not going to do. And just some time ago, I told her she signed up for something. And for that reason, you say things. Now, this is for all of us here. You say things that you're not going to live or act on. And when you truly want to receive something by faith and you're speaking words, you don't see the results. Because your mind, the first thing you do is you confuse your heart. So your mind says, well, you're saying one thing, you're doing another. So what's truth? What isn't true? You understand now? You see the difference then? A person of honor, person with who is true to their word, it's for your own benefit. Not for the benefit necessarily for God, but for your own benefit. You don't deceive your heart. Because why do you think there are so many Christians? Again, one more time, not that I'm trying to get in their lives or of anyone of those listening to me through television or radio. I'm not here telling you what to do, what not to do. I just want to help you. The majority of Christians, the average Christian, spends more time on their phone listening and watching other things instead of the Word of God. And you're filling your mind with trash. And that's where the struggle is. Why is there so much adultery in the body of Christ? Because women start seeing things that they shouldn't. Men start watching things that they shouldn't. Men start watching women, and then they start comparing the bodies of their women, of those women, with the bodies of their wife, or vice versa. And you're sowing those seeds in your mind. That's the body of sin. That's your soul. And we're going to struggle while we're still here. But once you understand it, you'll know, well, why do I have this desire? Or you'll know that you have placed other things in your mind more than the Word of God. And if temptations come, you'll know that it's the body of sin and say, no. No. Not for me. But Brother Hughes, my body wanted it. Yeah, your body. You know that your body is the same. You turn off the light and your body won't know if you're sleeping with a woman or with a chicken. No, really. When it comes to doing perversions, people can do with their body whatever they want. And it's true. But not because of it, you're going to do it. That's what the Apostle Paul dealt with in Corinthians. The brothers in Corinthians, because they thought that because they were children of God, temples of the Holy Spirit, they had abused the grace of God in what they were doing. They were going, according to some historic data, they were going to the temples and sleeping with the prostitutes that were there in the temple of the heathens. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, that don't you understand that you're temple of the Holy Spirit? Actually, 1 Corinthians 6. And praise the Lord that I came to church. So good. So that's where all doubt, unbelief, all fear, when it's based on finances, all fighting, saying tithing is of the law, all is eradicated there. I told you, the heathen comes from that the heathen comes from the spirit. Born again comes from their soul. Everything is easy. It's just renewing their mind and acting in humbleness. 1 Corinthians 6. 6 verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Hallelujah. Can you see it there? I will not let myself be dominated by any. Foods are for the stomach, and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God who both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and take them members of a harlot? Certainly not. A harlot or a prostitute here. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Meaning here, what was he trying to say with this? When a man or a woman have relations, a man, especially believer in Christ, married, has a relationship with a woman that isn't his wife, there is a spiritual union there. But the perverse thing is that there's a union between a child of God and a person. In other words, there is a union between the person and the devil, spiritually speaking. That's what makes it perverse and demonic. Adultery is demonic. Same thing, a woman with a man. These are Christians, remember. I mentioned the world, but the world does terrible things. They don't even know what bathroom to go to. World doesn't even know what they are. Whether they're a woman or a horse or what they are, they don't know. Praise the Lord that here the president said, when he came, and one of the things, executive orders that he said is, there are only two sexes here, two genders. And one of the things that they've struggled is because he's even removed monies that are promoting, the universities promoting homosexuality. He cut a university $400 million of the federal government. And very quickly he said, well, let's see, Mr. President, let's talk. Very quickly, there's convenience. And those are going to start deporting all those who they gave visas to study. They started getting with all those radical people attacking Israel, all those protests. Quickly deporting them. We need strong leaders. You don't have to agree with everything. But I'll tell you, there are some very good things coming. Now, there's something here. And this is for mature people, that of watching porn. When you're a child of God, you're fornicating with the devil, spiritually speaking. That of having sex before marriage. You know what happens? Yeah, you're a child of God, but you're giving much place to the devil. My pastor, who is in heaven, would say this. There are Christians, remember, Brother Osmar, flirting with sin. And the issue is, I told you, I'll take you there in this series. There's a possibility, small possibility, but it exists there, that you're filled in so much with it that you renounce your salvation. It's happened with people. So we'll go farther on ahead, but stay with what I'm sharing here with you. If, conditional, if you truly have a relationship with the grace of God, you will not use grace as debauchery. The grace of God makes you a better Christian, better brother in Christ, a better husband, wife, better believer in your church, a better helper. You'll go more to church. You won't be missing out on church, but you'll go more. You'll pray more. You'll read your Bible more. You won't let stop reading your Bible. You'll pray more. You'll be more generous. That's what grace with revelation produces. I know that there are people who use the grace of God as debauchery. Just, oh, I don't have to be in sin. I can live in sin. Matter that at least grace covers me. I can live in disobedience. It's stupid to be sinning purposefully. God loves you, stupid. I mean, God loves you, brother. But it's stupid to be acting that way. Someone say amen. Praise the Lord, I came to church. Titus 1. Our apologies to Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, read it one more time. 11, 12, 13. Help me with the New Living Translation. Perhaps even 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, the Lord Jesus here, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. 13. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. 14. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. You see how he gave us. He freed us, not to sin, but freedom of sin. When it speaks of the grace of God, this isn't of a subject. This is of a person that I've preached for years. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Good deeds produced from understanding the grace of God. Not good deeds to be saved, but because we are saved. You don't come to church to save yourself, to win over your salvation. You come because you are saved. Hallelujah. The same reason we give. I recommend Brother Comble's book. So here, yeah, the best explication of tithing. It's there in Spanish and English. I'm going to give him free promotion. I'm going to make a special announcement on YouTube channel to give him some promotion. The way of sowing in his ministry. One of the best books that there is on tithing. The motive. Very well explained. You won't hear nothing different, but it's there written. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In English as well. Speak more English, you can go to his website, kcm.org. Because we're buying it at the same price. We're not gaining any profit. We don't buy it to make business. We buy it to support him. Thank you, Lord. Because there are people who share my website. There are people who share the website of internet. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now stand on your feet with me. I'm going to pray for you. Praise the Lord that I came to church. This is so good. The rest is just religion. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor for you to have been able to hear me. Thank you, Lord. That's what I tell my children. This morning, see, I come a bit earlier. And I left a bit earlier. And the girls were getting ready, just about to head out. They were finishing up. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, give them strength that they can resist the having to not being able to see me up until church. And then Kayla prepared the lemon water for me. And when she gave it to me, I said, you're welcome. And she tells me, thank you, because I gave her the opportunity of serving.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just as you speak to someone about the gospel and the Bible, the same thing. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. We give glory and honor. Thank you for your truth that we are teaching. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that you bring a conviction to every person that listens to us. Those who maybe listen to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and can be literally baptized and submerged in the body of Christ. And others, so their minds could change and their way of thinking changes. Thank you for healing. For the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. I cast out any situation in your body. And I order that sickness leave your body now. I speak your bones healed. A healthy heart, healthy lungs healed. Because we were healed more than 2,000 years ago. We release power through our words. Speak to your body. Speak to your faith. It doesn't matter if people criticize you, family or friendships, friends. Speak to your body. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak to my throat. Sometimes I wake up with a laryngitis, but because if somebody needs to sleep comfortably, it's me. And I set everything to be hot. I mean, in the natural. But I don't find anything in the Bible. And I say, be healed. And then the information in the natural, you slept with the air on. And I say, I don't care. I want to sleep comfortably. And I say to my body, be healed. And I say to my larynx, be healed. This world was created by words, so this world needs to respond to words. Your body responds to words. Speak the word. Speak it in the name of Jesus. Believing that everything has been done and that you will receive it. And if the symptoms persist, speak it again. Not so that the Lord heals you or to move God, but to move your faith. To move the power of God. Tie up the devil and toss him out and tell him, you're not going to touch my body. You're not going to touch my finances or my home. Hallelujah. You have to be serious. And there's Christians that say, oh, well, I'm in love. And you say, oh, I'm so much in love that even the devil, I don't even talk to him. Amen. You need to be aggressive against the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it, and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.